Isaiah chapter number 50. I have been working on this message for some time now. And as I said in the service a moment ago, there's many nights that I would get up in the middle of the night with a thought, and my mind's not clear enough and sharp enough to remember it, so I have to get up and write things down. But I hope it's a blessing. I hope it's a help to you. I hope it's an encouragement. And we certainly understand that there are times in our lives as God's people that we must or we have to serve God in the midst of darkness. We don't like it. We don't like darkness at all. But there are times that God allows us to go through those times. And in God's Word, in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 3, we read these words, and then we're going to Isaiah 50. But in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 3, we read these words, "And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places. Thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, or by thy name, am the God of Israel." Again, there are times that we find ourselves in difficult, dark days. We find at times it's difficult to see very far ahead. It's hard to stand when we don't understand. It's hard to stand faithful when we don't understand. Understand this morning, life is filled with melody and misery. It's filled with times that are high times and low times. Hard times. It's interesting that as Christians, we all desire to be overcomers. Our theme this year is victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we all desire to be overcomers. We're not so much on being overcome. We desire to go to heaven. At least I hope we do. We desire to go to heaven, but we'd rather not die in order to get there. It's in that very essence of understanding that life is tragic without the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about heaven, and there'll be many not go there. But if we go, we're going to go through death's door, or the Lord will call us out of here. And it's during this time that we have a tendency to often ask, why? Why do Christians suffer? Why do babies or children die? Why are children abused? Why do families become dysfunctional? Why has my heart been broken? Why do the wicked prosper? Understand this morning, there are those seasons in life when we're not able to mentally grasp what's transpiring in our lives. There are those times and those instances when we've studied the lesson and we've learned our formulas, we've memorized the promises of God, and we think we have it all figured out. And suddenly, we're plunged into deep, deep darkness. Why does such darkness come to Christians? What do we do when the lights go out? What do we do when darkness comes into our lives? It's interesting, when we went to school, some are still in school, but when we went to school, we received the lesson first, and then the test. However, in life, we receive the test and learn the lesson. And since God has allowed me to be in the ministry these years, I said last week they used to refer to me as the young preacher. They don't refer to me as young anymore. It's not because I've got a lot of intelligence, it's because I've got a lot of gray hair. And I'm hoping the barbershop opens up soon. As a matter of fact, I'm going to West Virginia to get a haircut at my mom's house. She's a beautician. It's amazing you got to drive 4 hours to get your hair cut. But since God has allowed me to be in the ministry these years, or for some time, I've learned that why is not what is important, because God already has the answer to why. God knows everything. What is important is how. How are we going to react? How are we going to respond? How are we going to conduct ourselves in this time of darkness? What do we do when the lights go out, when nothing seems to make sense? We often feel at time, or at least most of the time, we can bear up under most anything if we just knew why. Passage we're going to read here in just a moment. It's certainly a wonderful passage that should help us trust God in troubled times. It should help us develop unshakable faith in uncertain circumstances. It should help us develop a biblical perspective on hard times. In this passage, we see many lessons to be learned when darkness envelops us. The Bible tells us here in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." Notice again, if you would, in verse 10, it speaks about walking in darkness. We're going to pray and ask the Lord to help us understand these thoughts this morning. I know there are people in this auditorium, in this service, there were many in that other service, I know there are people in this service right now who've gone through some dark, dark days. I mentioned a family last week that's seated right there. Gone through many dark days. Not because of anything they've done. But they've gone through some dark, dark days. Two family members was buried in the same week. Just recently. No parent ever expects to outlive their child. There's others in this auditorium who've experienced deep darkness. What are we to do? Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us understand this. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you that you're trustworthy. Thank you that we find ourselves in deep darkness, that you're still there. Teach us these things you desire that we might know, and guide us to the place that you desire that we might be. And Lord, again, we acknowledge the issue is not whether or not you can do these things. The issue is whether or not we're teachable and leadable. So Lord, help us to be teachable, leadable people. Lord, I pray you might use us today as you see fit. Take from our mind things that are not necessary or important. Embolden us and give us wisdom and understanding to say things that need to be said. Work in our lives today. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So we begin to think about this thought, the treasures of darkness. Certainly we don't associate darkness with treasures. We most often associate darkness with fear. A lot of people are scared of the dark. Sometimes when it's dark outside, it means there's a storm looming. A few years ago, we had what they call or referenced a derecho. I had just umpired a baseball game. I'd come home, and as I was pulling in and walking in my house, this big dark green cloud was over top of our house, over top of our town, actually. And as soon as I walked in the door, the lights went out. Wind was blowing. I thought it was a tornado. The clouds were very similar to the tornado clouds that we saw when we lived in Missouri. But it was a dark day when that derecho came through. Our lights were out for over a week. It was also over 100 degrees in our house. It was not a very pleasant experience. Sometimes darkness comes our way when the doctor says, I've got bad news. I've got some things that's concerning to me. And sometimes we receive words that we desire not to hear, diagnoses that we desire not to know. They're dark. We don't usually associate treasures with darkness. But God says, I'm going to give you treasures in darkness. Note, if you would, this morning, and I'm going to give you some points, and then I'm going to give you some things to understand following each of these points. But first of all, we consider faith's devotion. Faith's devotion. Now understand, as we think about faith's devotion, those with the greatest devotion often know the deepest darkness. Let me say that again. Those with the greatest devotion often know the deepest darkness. Back in our text, we read a moment ago in verse 10 of Isaiah 50. The Bible says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Note here who spoke of here. The passage here speaks about people that fear the Lord. The Bible tells us that's the beginning of wisdom. It's not meaning that we're in some corner somewhere, curled up in some fetal position, trembling because we're scared. It means that we reverence God, we acknowledge God for who He truly is, we honor Him as He rightly deserves, we pay homage to Him, we stand in awe of who God truly is. That's what it means to fear God. That's good people. Those that honor God, those that reverence God, those who are at awe with God, those are good people. There are people in this auditorium today. I know you reverence God. You're at awe with the goodness and the glory and the grandeur of God. I understand that. That's who's addressed here. Those that fear God, those that honor God, those that are at all with God, those that reverence God, the Bible said they walk in darkness. Not only is it those that fear the Lord, but it also says these individuals obey the voice of his servant. They're not only impressed with God, they're not only reverencing God, they're not only standing in awe of God, they obey God. They're obedient people. The person who fears God the most, understand this, loves God the most. The person that obeys the voice of God. We've got a distorted understanding today in this day in which we're living. That we've got an understanding that if we become a Christian, it'll be all honey and no bees. It'll be all sunlight and roses and no rain or thorns or weeds. That's not so. Good people at times walk in darkness. Some of the most godly people I know have gone through some deep, deep, dark days. I was thinking of some of our folks this week who've gone through some deep water, who've gone through some dark days, and through it all, they maintain a testimony that honored the Lord. I'm careful how I say things, but this family right here has been a great testimony to me. I've seen them go through some trying times. Losing a son-in-law in the same week. And not long after that, having another son spend over a month in the hospital, not knowing if he was going to make it. They get bitter? No. They stayed faithful. Thank you for your testimony. Some of the most godly people I know have gone through dark, dark times. Note what Job has to say about the darkness. Again, keep in mind, Job was the one that God was so impressed with that he asked Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? He's perfect, he's upright, he escheweth evil. Have you considered Job?" I wonder if God would think enough of us to recommend us to Satan. But note what Job, a man that God said was a man that escheweth evil, a man that was upright. Note what he says. In Job 19, verse 8, we read these words. "He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he hath set darkness in my paths." We're talking about a man that God was pretty impressed with. A man that God said, "Have you considered him?" A man that feared God, honored God. A man that escheweth evil, stayed away from it. And now he finds himself in days of darkness. One day he loses his entire family. days of darkness. Habakkuk stated it this way in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? You ever been at that place in your life? When it's so dark and you've poured your heart out to God and the darkness is still there. And we often wonder, is God even hearing my prayer? Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear my prayer? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. John the Baptist, while sitting in prison, ask the Lord if he really was the Messiah. We're talking about a man who is so bold, who proclaimed to those in leadership that what you're doing is sinful. Of course, he was thrown into prison and eventually had his head taken from him. Understand, each of these individuals, Job, Habakkuk, John the Baptist, every one of these men came to a time in their life they didn't understand. They couldn't comprehend why and what was fully going on. They were in darkness. As you read the stories of those that we would consider to be great Christians. I have a book in my library. I've also got it on my computer. I pulled it up on my computer this week. It's called Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you've never read that book, I would highly recommend you reading it. It speaks of servants of God who lost their life because of their love for the Lord, their loyalty to the Lord. Many of those were burned at the stake. Some had coats of animals sewed to their skin, thrown into an arena, and wild beasts were opened up to wild beasts, and those beasts would devour their bodies. When I think about that and I read those stories, I realize we don't have it quite so bad. But as we read these stories of those that we consider to be great Christians from the past, most of them experience darkness. Now we consider not only faith, devotion, understanding, and knowing that those of the greatest devotion often know the deepest darkness, but also note here faith development. Understand this morning, the faith that is displayed in the light is often developed in the darkness. Let me say that again. The faith that is displayed in the light is often developed in the darkness. Go back to the passage we read a moment ago in Isaiah 50, verse 10. The Bible says again, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let me ask a question this morning, and I hope we honestly would at least consider the answer to this question. When have you and I grown the most spiritually in our life? Has it been during the sunlight, or has it been during the darkness? Somebody stated it this way. Faith is like film. It's better developed in darkness. God wants to develop our faith. A wise man once said, "Never doubt in the dark what we've learned in the light." Never doubt in the dark what we've learned in the light. Understand, the faith that's born in the light grows in the dark. By the way, the test of an individual's character is what you do in the dark. We can impress people in the daylight, but really our character is who we are and what we are in the dark. Now, how is it that God develops our faith in darkness? I want you to note three things here that we're to do when darkness surrounds us. And by the way, there is not an individual in this room that's immune to darkness. Not one. What are we to do? First of all, we're to look to the Lord. Understand, we live by promises, not by explanations. Thomas Watson, you may not be familiar with that name, but he was a Puritan preacher many years ago, and he once said, "Where reason cannot wade, faith must swim." We've got to continue to stand on God's Word and the principles of God's Word, regardless of what may be going on in our lives, regardless if it's daylight or whether it's dark. God's Word never changes. God's Word is reliable. God's Word is trustworthy. God's Word is dependable. And it remains constant through all the seasons of life, whether they're daylight or dark. We must continue to live according to God's Word, even though tough times come and the way may be dark. The promises of God's Word remain the same, whether the sun is shining or darkness comes our way. Not only must we look to the Lord in times of darkness, but also we must learn of the Lord in times of darkness. The Bible tells us, in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." When darkness comes and surrounds us, we should learn the things He wants to teach us. We read in Psalms 119, we often relate the book of Psalms 119 to a description of the Bible, and it's very accurate. That's a very accurate description. But there's a number of other things in that same chapter that certainly teach us some things. For the Bible tells us in Psalms 119, verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and dost good. Teach me," note those words, "thy statutes." The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as geese, but I delight in thy law. Verse 71. Now, he did not get bitter here. So often when darkness comes our way, and so often when we're surrounded by darkness and we don't have an explanation why, and all we can do is just wonder what in the world's going on. We can't see to take another step. When that comes our way, so often we have a tendency to get bitter. But notice what the psalmist says here. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You see, when darkness surrounds us, not only must we look to the Lord, we must learn of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9, we read these words. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Darkness. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Note, it was in the nighttime of darkness that Isaiah said, I have a desire for the Lord. I don't know what's going on. I can't see the next step. It's dark. I desire the Lord. But it was the desire that he had at night, that time of darkness, that caused his spirit to seek the Lord early. We too, when darkness surrounds us, need to learn of Him and what He wants us to understand. Personally, I've learned much. Much more in the darkness than I've ever learned in the light. For it's in the darkness that I can't see, nor can I understand, and I must look to the Lord and learn of Him. Spurgeon made this statement. I've used it often. He said, I bear my willing witness that I owe more to the fire and the hammer and the file than to anything else in my Lord's workshop. I sometimes question whether I've ever learned anything except through the rod. And then he makes this statement, when my schoolroom is darkened, I see most. You see, when the seasons of darkness come, and come they will, we must look to the Lord and we must learn of Him. But we also must learn not only to look and to learn, we must learn to lean on Him. Again, back in the passage we read there a moment ago in verse number 10, we read these words. Again, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. We all know, and we've often quoted these verses in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. These are easier quoted than practiced. Matter of fact, I find much of the Bible is much easier to memorize and quote than it is to practice. But the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We have a tendency to want to lean on our own understanding. We have a tendency to want to try to find out the answer, to find out the solution, to find out the why. I want to tell you, we need not lean on our own understanding. We must lean on the Lord. And when we find ourselves in the dark, understand we don't need an explanation. We need God. And it's better to be with God in the darkness than to be in a place of light and understanding without Him. We must remember there are some things that you and I want and we just don't need. We just don't need it. At times we want answers. Especially in times of darkness. But it's in the darkness that we don't need an answer. We need to look. We need to learn. We need to lean. God knows what's best, even when we can't see the next step. God knows what's best. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Psalms 18, verse 30, as for God, His way is perfect. That's in the daylight, that's in the sunlight, that's in the cloudy days, that's in the dark days. God's way is perfect. Understand, sometimes God removes all the answers in order to give us Himself. Are we not guilty? When things are rolling smoothly, we have less tendency to be dependent. And sometimes, God sends the darkness so that He's all we have. Understand this morning, our fellowship with Him is far more important than our finding out why. God desires to use us, even in the midst of darkness. There was a man by the name of John Milton. You may be familiar with that name. But it was in the darkness of his blindness he wrote this book, Paradise Lost. There was another man by the name of John Bunyan. He was locked up in prison in London, England. And it was while he was locked up in prison, he wrote the book, Pilgrim's Progress. Oh, there's another John. He was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And while there, God used him to pen the book of Revelation. Understand, God still wants to use us in times of darkness. God wants to develop our faith. And most often our faith is best developed in the dark. Now we've considered faith's devotion. Knowing that those of the greatest devotion often know the deepest darkness. We've considered faith development, realizing that faith that is displayed in the light is often developed in the darkness. We consider also faith discernment. Understand that some things are seen in the dark that can never be seen in the light. Go back to the passage we read a moment ago in Isaiah 50. The Bible says in verse 3, I clothe the heavens with blackness. I make sackcloth or coverings. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. Notice here, as we read a moment ago in chapter 45, verse 3, notice here the treasures of darkness. Again, Isaiah 45, verse 3, the Bible says, I'll give thee the treasures of darkness. Now understand, though the stars are in their place, when the sunlight is up, the stars are in the same place right now as they will be this evening. The stars don't go to bed during the day. The stars are in the exact same place at this very moment as they will be when the sun sets and darkness settles in. However, the stars are never seen until it gets dark. And there are some treasures of darkness that are only revealed in the night. We read in Psalms 148, verse 3, that the stars praise the Lord. As a matter of fact, it says, praise ye him, the sun and moon, praise him, all ye stars of light. Understand, we would never see the stars praising the Lord if it wasn't for the darkness. I was thinking about this. I was actually reading this morning. I always go back over my notes and things, and the Lord brought a thought to my mind. Turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew, chapter 2. Thought this was quite interesting. In verse 1 of Matthew chapter 2, we read these words. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen, what's those next two words? His star. We've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Israel with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently, what time, so those next two words, the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And they saw the star. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. That was the wise men in the story. In the book of Luke, we have the account of the shepherds. Two different times. The shepherds came to the stable. The wise men came to a home. But notice what it says in Luke chapter 2. And they were in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock. What's those next two words? By night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. It was in the night they learned of the Lord. I was thinking this morning, I actually woke up thinking of this, but it's often the darkness that leads the lost to the Lord and the saved to seek Him. We don't cherish dark times. As a matter of fact, we try to avoid them. But it's often in the darkness our faith is developed. Note just a few things about the treasures of darkness. Understand, in the light we see things that are close up. In the darkness we see that which is far away. Those stars are way off in the distance. That moon is way off in the distance. Sometimes we're able to see planets and the light reflecting off those planets, but they're at a great distance away. We see things closely in the daylight, but we see things at a distance in the darkness. In the light, we think our brightest thoughts, but in darkness, we have our deepest thoughts. We learn more about others during the daylight. We learn more about ourselves in seasons of darkness. When someone has gone through a dark period in his or her life, they'll learn some truths that will remain with them the rest of their life. You see, it's in the darkness that we gain discernment. Discerning that God is trustworthy. God is able to see us through the darkness. We note also faith's danger. Again, we don't often equate danger with faith. But we see an element of danger here in this passage. Understand, it's better to be serving the Lord in the darkness than to be standing alone in man-made light. Go back to the passage in Isaiah 50. Here's where we struggle. Here's the great temptation we find when darkness surrounds us. Notice what it says in verse 11. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. One of the greatest, or one of the most dangerous temptations that you and I have, and we'll struggle with, is in the season of darkness. We're tempted to light our own fire and to provide our own light. Understand, if God has ordained or allowed the darkness, then we must wait on God. If the light has been removed, and it will at times, if the light has been removed from the situations and circumstances of our life, then God in His wisdom has allowed us to be in the dark. And if God is the one that's allowed the darkness to come, then don't light your own fire, because of the results is sorrow. Understand, man-made light is deceptive. It's not a sure guide. It's not one that we should follow. It's like a man getting up in the middle of the night with a flashlight and going over to a sundial to see what time it is. Let me illustrate it with a couple of people we're familiar with. You say, who is it? Well, they're in the Bible. Nobody here. They're in the Bible. Their name is Abraham and Sarah. God had told Abraham that he was going to give him a son. And in the darkness of doubt, Abraham lights his own fire. And goes to Hagar, and she conceives. Out of that, a son was born whose name was Ishmael. Now think about, as a result of Abraham lighting his own fire, in the darkness of doubt, you think about the suffering that came not only to Abraham and Sarah, but to the world, because he didn't wait on God in the midst of darkness. And that region of the world is still in turmoil today. You see, it's in the darkness. We must avoid the danger of lighting our own fire. For that fire and that light will result in sorrow. One final thought we consider and we finish. I always like to end a message on a positive note and not a negative. But that's face daybreak. Remember, if the darkness has surrounded your life, the sun will rise again. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 50 verse 4, He waketh morning by morning and waketh mine ear to hear. Boy, I'm glad God just wakes us up the next day even in the midst of darkness. You say, I don't understand why everything's happening the way that's happening. We don't need explanations. We need God. We don't need answers. We need God. And even though we may be in darkness now, there's a better day coming. If you're in darkness, trust God. God will eventually turn every tear into triumph. He'll turn every hurt into hope. And He'll turn every trial into a treasure. Remember what we read in Psalms 30, verse number 5. For His anger endureth but for a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. One of these days, God's going to pull the shades of night and pin them open with the stars. And we'll see things and we'll know the truth that we had never known or we had never seen if it wasn't for the darkness. I was thinking about this. I woke up, I can't remember, the days run together now. I'm not even sure what month it is. I've been in the house so long. I was thinking about this the other day. As Christians, this is as bad as it gets. This is as bad as it gets. For when this life is through, we'll have things beyond our comprehension. This world's not our home. We're passing through. And for us, this is as bad as it gets. We have a better place waiting. A better environment. By the way, where there'll never be a dark day. There'll be no need of sun because the sun's there. S-O-N. There'll never be a dark day in heaven. This is as bad as it gets. There's coming a day for the Christian when we'll step out of time into eternity and we'll see the fullness of the glory of God. The Bible reminds us in Psalms 112 and verse 4, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. There was an artist who was quite well at his trade and quite talented. He painted a great painting. He wanted his friend to come and see the painting, and so he invited his friend over, and his friend made his way down the busy street and knocked on the door, and this painter invited him in. And he said, come in here. I want you to sit in this room. I'm going to turn out all the lights. I want you to sit in darkness in this room for 15 minutes before I show you my painting. He was somewhat confused, but he complied and sat in that dark room for 15 minutes. The artist come and led him into this painting that he had painted. And when this friend observed that painting, he said, that's a miraculous piece of work. That's a beautiful painting. And then he turned to the artist. He said, but why did you want me to sit in darkness before I saw this painting? And the artist made this statement. He said, it's because you had the glare of the street in your eye. I wanted you to be able to appreciate the richness and the deepness of the color. And you wouldn't have been able to truly see it. And you wouldn't have been able to truly appreciate it until the glare was gone. Understand, sometimes you and I are so dazzled by this world and have so much glare that God in His love allows us to go through some darkness so that we can see and we can appreciate the richness of the color and His glory. I close. I know there are people in this auditorium. No doubt there are people watching this live stream that are in darkness or have gone through some dark times. I'm certain everybody in this auditorium has gone through some darkness. Everybody in this service, I am certain, have gone through some dark times. I reached out to a family this week who used to attend here. They've moved out of the area. They've gone through some real dark times. With no answers why. Lost a family member. And there's still no answers as to what happened. Tragic event. They've gone through some deep, deep hurt. They're still hurt deeply. And some may be tempted to ask why. Again, remember, we don't need answers. We need to look. We need to learn. We need to lean. I read a story this week of a father and a little girl who came home from a cemetery where they had just buried his wife and her mother. This man had to come home without his wife, and this little girl had to come home without a mom. The little girl asked her dad if it might be possible for her to sleep in his bed that night. He was glad she asked because he didn't really want to go to bed by himself. She laid down, and her dad turned out the lights. She said to her dad, "Daddy, it's dark. It's so dark. Have you ever seen it this dark before? It is so dark." She said, "I can't even see you." She said to her dad, "Is your face toward me?" He said, "Yes, sweetheart. My face is toward you." When she fell asleep, this broken-hearted dad who had just buried his wife slipped out of bed, got on his knees, and cried to his heavenly Father and said, "God, it's dark, so dark. I've never been in, nor have I seen it ever this dark before. Is your face toward me?" And it was as if he had heard from heaven, "Yes, my son, my face is toward you." And then he said, good night. I'll see you in the morning. Remember, in our deepest, darkest sorrow, the eyes of our Heavenly Father are upon us. The Bible tells us back in the passage we began with a moment ago, in Isaiah 45, verse 3, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. What are we to do when darkness surrounds us? We're to look to Him. We're to learn of Him. And we're to lean on Him. Learn the treasures of darkness, for it's there that we'll discover the hidden riches of the secret places. I'll be honest, I don't like going through the dark. I don't like a dark environment at all. But it's there. Most often, our faith is developed. What are we to do? We're to look, we're to learn, we're to lean.